Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. We're glad you're here today as our pastor begins a series titled Prayer That Invades the Impossible. Today's message, part one, is entitled Everyone Has a Back Door. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
There are so many people in your life, so many people around you that are struggling, that are simply not making it. No matter what air they give, no matter what foot they put forward, no matter how they smile, what they wear, no matter anything that they may convey or communicate to you, they are in a struggle for their life. And they're not going to let you know, and they need help. There's people that need help in body. There's people that need help with money. There's people that need help with their mind. There's people that need help with their marriages. There's people. Do you know any of these kind of people? I'm sure you do. And I'm sure you, like many others, feel so helpless against the tide of evil and the tide of trouble that is banging against the shore of people's lives in this time in which we are living. But I want to tell you something right now. I believe there is a way into everybody's life. You say, yes, but how can you get in when somebody doesn't want you in? How can you help people where they don't want help? How can you show them the way whenever they don't want you to show them the way? They're stubborn. They're blind to the situation. They're uncooperating. They don't care anymore. They're too weak, too sick. And how can you help somebody like this? I will tell you how. There is a back door to everybody's life. I'm going to say that again. There is a back door to everyone's life. You're never going to be able to help everybody through the front door. In other words, simply because they need some form of spiritual, emotional, or physical, financial assistance, you can't assume or think or believe that you're going to be able to just walk right in the front door of people's lives, friends, relatives, or foe, and just offer them advice, offer them help in any way, and they're just going to say, thank you very much, I needed that. Look at your own life. You have not been the easiest person to help. Why would people you're trying to help be the easiest people to help? We can be very obstinate at times. We can be very stubborn at times. We can be very proudful at times. And God wants to rescue people, not just from this and that and situation, but God wants to rescue people from themselves. He wants to rescue people from themselves. So important that you see that. And that's why we must look at this backdoor approach to people's lives, so we can help many people around us in spite of themselves. There's a scripture in Luke 22:31 where Jesus was talking to Peter. And he said to Peter, the devil, Satan, has desired you. He wants you. And he wants to sift you like wheat. Peter, the devil has found something in which he can get into your life. There's a door there. There's a crack. There's something in you, your person, your actions, your words. He's found a way in, and he's wanting to come in there and annihilate, rip you to shreds, put you through a paper shredder, put you through the meat grinder. He just wants to rip you up. But I have prayed for you that your faith would fail not. I've always thought this to be interesting because here's Jesus who turned water into wine, touched lepers and made them whole, and raised dead people. Here's Jesus who told Satan, get thee behind me. Here's Jesus who beat the devil up one side and down the other in the wilderness. Here's Jesus who was used to immediate, instant, on the spot. And yet here's Peter. Evidently and obviously there's an open window somewhere in which the enemy is getting in. The Bible says when the hedge is broke, the serpent bites. When there's an open door, the devil kicks it in. And there's obviously an open door here, an open window, a break in the hedge. And rather than Jesus fixing it, rather than Jesus just saying, hey, Peter, fix this or fix that, or here's the open window, or here's where the enemy's getting in. Do you hear me? Rather than Jesus just fixing it himself and saying, Peter, that was close, I fixed it for you. Or rather than just confronting Peter with the issue at hand, Peter, here's how the enemy's getting in, take care of it. He did neither. He did not fix it, nor did he confront Peter head on. He simply said, Peter, I want you to know the enemy's knocking at your door. He's huffing and puffing, trying to blow it down, but I'm praying for you. There's some things you just cannot confront people with. Why? They won't receive it. There's some things you just cannot fix because at the time it needs fixed, they may not want it fixed or think it even needs fixed. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so on and so on. He was simply saying is you've got to be very, very careful and cautious whenever you begin to obviously all the time confront people, show them what needs to be fixed, what needs to be changed, stop this, start that, don't do this, do this. When you begin to press into human nature, you get resistance and you get no cooperation and pride surfaces and rebellion kicks in and you get nowhere but except frustrated and more frustrated and more frustrated. The Bible says there is a back door to everyone's life in which you can accomplish that which not only you desire, but ultimately God desires as he's working in us for his will and his good pleasure. God has a plan for each life that is of excellence, is of the highest standard. His blueprint, his schematics, I mean, they cause you and I and all whoever will to come into a place of such wonder and splendor and awesomeness of what God can and will do with an individual that surrenders to him. So we see that there is a back door, and Jesus was taking this back door with Peter. There's something about Peter's personality at this time that Jesus just could not confront it, why he wouldn't receive it. There's just some reason why Jesus chose the avenue of prayer. He chose the avenue of back door. He chose the avenue of being more invisible and less visible. He chose this avenue because this is the only thing that would work at that time with someone like Peter. I want to give you four different kinds of people on this particular series that really, really need backdoor approach, or they may never get the breakthrough that they need, that they deep down in desire, that ultimately God has willed for them. But because God wills it doesn't mean it's automatic. Remember that. Nothing in the Bible is automatic. Everything must be appropriated. Angels aren't automatic. The blood of Jesus is not automatic. The promises of God are not automatic. I mean, it must be appropriated, applied, loosened, released, dispatched, claimed. You know, it must be believed. It must be thought and spoke and acted on. Appropriation, execution is the key to unlocking spiritual power. So there's four kinds of people that I want to address in this particular audio series that needs help in seeing the breakthrough, in seeing the light, in seeing the other side. Number one is there are people that really don't want help. They are in a place of such rebellion. They don't want help. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to be free from addictions. They don't want to be free from abusive behavior. They don't want to be free from the miserable things and lifestyle that they have. They refuse the light. They refuse the love that you often try to give to them. They refuse anything that is formable of Christianity, Holy Ghost, church, Bible, light, spirituality. That side, they often just put up that shield, that defensive mechanism, that wall, that resistance, and they're abrasive about it, and there's just no way that you can tell them how harmful smoking is. There's just no way that you can tell them how harmful pornography is. There's just no way how you can share with them that hot is hell and that it's forever and that there's the damned and the doomed that live there and no one has to go there except the devil and his angels. Everyone else chooses to go there by not making a choice for Jesus. I mean, there's so many deep and issues that are surrounding and swimming around people today that are causing pain and untold heartache for men, for women, for boys, for baby girls and baby boys, grandmas and grandpas, people of all ethnic groups all over the world. The Bible says the whole world is living in a place of darkness and chaotic confusion. It's just incredible. And yet God has given the righteous, the redeemed, the household of faith. He's given us a hope and a promise and a light. We're the salt and the light, and we can help. But we've got to realize there is this back door that comes in behind even that obstinate person, even that person who is rebellious, who says no to every yes, and who says dark to every light, and who says crooked to every straight. I mean, just cantankerous, and just someone who does not, that's the kind of person that needs help. The second kind of person is the person that is ignorant. They got a good heart, they're more than willing, they want to, but they're ignorant of things like prayer, the blood, the name of Jesus. They're ignorant to what all could be for them. They're ignorant to the potential and the possibilities that lie deep within the fabric of their being. And they don't have a clue on how to get out. They're trapped at the Red Sea like you were. They're trapped and wandering in the wilderness like you once were. They're trapped here and there just like you were. And do they want to be free? Yeah, but they're ignorant as to how can they. People that want to, but they're ignorant. Oh, they're so precious. And God wants you to see that someone who doesn't want to and resists everything, it's different than someone who wants to but does not have the knowledge, does not have the wisdom, does not have the key components for which to get any better, any deeper than what they are. The third person is the person that is so consumed with problems. I mean, so consumed they don't have the ability to focus very long on anything that they even do believe and hold near and dear. So many people today are consumed with parenting and debt cancellation and struggling with a relative that's sick and involved in the church and working over hours. And I mean, on and on and on. I mean, people's lives today are busy, are consumed. And they go to church, they hear a message, but the time that they have, the little window of opportunity that they have is so minute, it is so little that they often can't even climb through it because they don't see it. And they're consumed. I mean, you tell them, they look at you, they say, yes, I need to do that, but it's off to another battle. It's off to another problem. It's off to another deal. It's off to another. And so what happens is that while they're very much aware of life could be better, this could be resolved, Jesus is the answer, the Bible has a promise, they're very aware of all of that, but no time to make it a reality. No time. They're swimming. They're swamped. They're confused. And, you know, it's like it's someone that may have equivalent to, you know, 10 screaming babies. Which one do you feed first? Which one diaper do you change first? And so there's the entry point to breakthrough becomes fuzzy. And so we have here people that are rebellious and don't want any help at all. We have people here that are ignorant and they want help, but they simply don't know how to get it. They don't know how to push the button, pull the trigger. And then now we're talking about someone that is so consumed, so sincere, maybe so desirous of help, so agreeable to everything that you suggest, but it's only momentary because busy, occupied, you know, because the calendar is filled, tapped out, emotionally spent, mentally fried, you know, financially stretched. So between field, fried, and stretched, I mean, people have nowhere to go. Yet they're nice people. Yet they sit in church and they probably say amen louder than anybody. They probably have better notes and their Bible's probably four different colors. And the gold's all wore off the binding. I mean, they're the real deal. They're good people going to heaven. But they got so many scars and marks and so many victories that have yet to be wrought into one. But busy. Consumed. And don't know how to stand for any length of time for fear it would take away from the time of something else that they're battling. This person needs help. And finally, number four, the fourth person, there are so many people that just do not have the physical strength, that do not have the capabilities to really help themselves to any great degree. There's people that are just medicated. Today, there's more people in America that are medicated and over-medicated that it takes away the quality of life. It takes away the ability to think for very long or to walk or to talk, or to do simple things that used to be taken for granted. There's so many people today that are so medicated, so connected to home health care or assisted living places around each city in America. There are people today that are scheduling for surgery, that are facing death sentences. People today that are incarcerated, missing loved ones and family in spite of the wrong that they have done or committed. There are people today that all walks of life that have been weakened by their circumstances, weakened by the attack of the devil, weakened by a broken heart, weakened by a physical disaster or disease, that just don't have the wherewithal. It's all they can do just to get out of bed, just to gather the day's meals. It's all they can do. I mean, they are just weak. They are frail. Some are frail in body, and some are frail in heart, and some are frail in mind, but frail is the word. These people cannot be abandoned. We can't abandon people because right now they're in a place where they don't want God, and they don't want help, and they don't want to be any different. Because maybe you were once there. Maybe you were once in a place of, leave me alone, I can do it, I'm different. We can't abandon people because they're filled with rebellion and the ugly side is showing predominantly. We can't abandon people because they don't know or don't have the knowledge that you may have or the wisdom that has taken you so long to accumulate. We can't abandon them. We just can't say, well, they'll learn someday. We can't abandon them to recklessness on our part. We can't abandon them because they're so busy that we just say if they would prioritize. Well, how easy if we all would. We can't abandon people like that. We can't abandon people because they can't help themselves. You know, we often say when they get back on their feet, well, what do we do until then? Well, soon they'll be out of the hospital. What about until then? We cannot abandon people. The Bible is filled with physical stories of people that God would not leave abandoned. I mean, what comes to my mind is Moses and the slaves in Egypt, the nation of Israel. I mean, God physically sent a man in to help people who could not help themselves. Face it, Pharaoh had them. I mean, he had them hook, line, and sinker. They were chained to an ungodly or diabolical leader. They were chained to a foreign country. They were chained to slavery and mastery over their women and children. They were going nowhere forever. But guess what? God intervened, and there was someone who went in there physically and said, hey, this can't go on any longer. These are God's people. Let them go. I mean, God did not abandon them. You know, I think of the man that was crippled in the book of Mark, who was carried to a healing service by four other men. This man could not walk. This man could not get there by himself. He needed the assistance of four other strong men who would give up their day, cutting their grass, fixing their car, playing softball, that he would find four men that were worthy of carrying him, helping him, assisting him to get to the healer, to get the healing. You know, I think of the man that held Saul of Tarsus whenever he got converted and nobody believed in him and there was a plot to kill him and they had to get him out of the city and they lowered him down over the wall of the city, a big, long, high wall in Jerusalem in a little basket. Then they held the rope for him so he could escape and go and be discipled and developed by the Holy Ghost. He needed some time to get some of those rough edges knocked off of him. Whatever way you want to look at it, God couldn't abandon Saul, because he had a plan. God couldn't abandon this man that was crippled because he had a plan. God couldn't abandon the whole nation, you know, because, why, God had a plan. God doesn't abandon people because they're ignorant. He doesn't abandon people because they're rebellious. He doesn't abandon people because they're too weak. He doesn't abandon people because they're just right now consumed. God does not abandon people. God works overtime. God works overtime, and he wants to work overtime through you. He wants you to see that you can do something about the situation that seems right now to be bigger. It seems to be badder. It seems to be something that is so breathtaking. Well, guess what? I'm here to tell you there is a back door. There is a way in, and you may not have found it yet, but you are going to. And that's the purpose of these four tapes, is to get you into the life that doesn't want you in. Is to get you into the life that don't know how to let you in. This is to get you into the help somebody who can't help themselves, that God loves very dearly, that God is very, very much concerned over, and he wants to put a burden and put a desire within many, many people all over the land to become invaders of the darkness, intercessors of problems. God wants to cause intervention to come by the way of the cry of the righteous that's in the land. He wants the redeemed of the Lord to say so. So whether it's Moses going into Egypt, or whether it's them lowering a man down over the wall in a basket, or whether it is something like the man that was carried on the pallet. These are all physical examples, but this is the same thing that you can do in prayer. What they did physically, going in to confront Pharaoh, letting a man down over a wall in a basket, carrying a crippled man over their head on a flat wooden board, these are physical, but what they did physically, you and I and us can do in the realm of prayer. You must remember, the first major war wasn't on earth. The first major war was in the heavenlies. That's where the first major war was, is whenever Lucifer left the earth that he was assigned to, and he arose and he caused a great war in the heavenlies, and Michael the archangel, and there were angels that abandoned their post with God, one third of them, and they left with Lucifer as he was cast down and fell as a falling star. What I'm saying to you simply is this: the war that you must win can't be always won face to face, flesh to flesh. It's got to be won in the spirit realm. And it's that spirit realm that you must seek it and get into, and get in that back door that can take away friction, confrontation, strained relationships, and it can cause you to be gaining ground even now versus just waiting for faith or chance or circumstance, because all that gives is the devil and demons more time to sow their diabolical seed. This is a powerful, powerful revelation. You must understand that this approach takes time and energy and sacrifice. But you have to understand that this back door that you can get into with your husband, your wife, your children, your pastor, whoever, this is a door that you can walk through without their permission. Oh, did you hear me? So many times we're waiting on people to give us permission to give them advice, people to give us permission to give them medicine, people to give us permission. When you go in the back door of somebody's life through the power of prayer, invasive prayer, I'm talking to you about going beyond. Oh, I'm talking to you about going beyond getting permission. They don't even, you are working in their life without their consent. You don't need their consent. God has given you the consent, because you can pray for yourself. You can pray for yourself. That's a petition prayer. You can pray prayers of worship. That's a man to God prayer. But then there's intercession, and that's whenever you think of someone else enough, or even more so than yourself, and you spend time concentrating and focusing on what they need, area, breakthrough, situation. And whenever you come into that back door, you aren't saying, John, can I, you mind if I pray? You aren't saying, Sally, here's what I sense you need to do. You aren't asking them, because if you did, there's the friction. You remove that human element, And when you go in the back door, they don't even know that you are praying for them, that you are laboring in their field. It is done without their conscious awareness. Isn't that amazing? You can continue to have the relationship that you have without bringing any friction or anything of this nature into it, because there's some people don't want to hear about prayer, don't want to hear the name of Jesus. They're churched out, prayed out, sung out, given money out. They don't want to hear it. Turned off. You talk about it, I mean, they went from sugar to vinegar. And they don't want, how are you going to help? You can't abandon them, but you can work quietly in the back door, in the power of prayer, and they don't even consciously know. Now, there's things going to begin to happen because you're praying. They will be consciously aware of thoughts and convictions and feelings, but they don't have to be consciously aware that it's you that's causing it by throwing a prayer up to God, by sending a prayer fax to the Holy Ghost, by emailing Heaven's High Court. I mean, they don't know that. All they know is something in their feeling realm is feeling different. Something in their thought realm is thinking different. Something in their speech realm is speaking different. There's change coming about. They don't know what's bringing that. They may think it's their own. They may think it's just intervention from God. They just may think it's luck. They may think, who cares what they think? You know what it is. You're working in their back door without broadcasting it, so they won't resist it. And guess what? God is honoring that. God is honoring that. And as you do that, then you find out more things once you get in there that you can begin to think about and pray about and talk about. That's the power of this backdoor approach into people's lives. But there's something you must understand about this backdoor. Because you do this, it does not save anybody. And it does not automatically heal anybody. And it does not automatically save someone's whole family and bring all their children in. So many people say, well, because I prayed, they got saved. Because I prayed, they did this and they did that. You have to understand something. There are a lot of answers that can't come without the cooperation and the free will choice of the person that's in the quagmire, in the quicksand. Someone really has to want to. But the reason most people don't want to is because their will is influenced by darkness. Their will has become influenced by uncleanness, by perversions, by lies, by hypocrisies. And so when you come in the back door, you don't necessarily save, heal, or deliver anybody. What your prayers do, what your invasive light does, is that it drives away the dark forces that are influencing that person's decisions, that's influencing that person's willpower. I mean, Eve did not eat the fruit by herself. She was influenced. She was under the influence. The way alcohol influences the bloodstream and the discernment and judgment of a natural person, so is the same way that problems and rebellion and spirits and hurt and pain, all of these influence people to make the wrong choices in life. Well, how do you get those influences away? Once you remove the bad influence away, then the person has the freedom to choose and make good sense and make good choices with what they have. Oh, if you've ever heard anything, I want you to hear that. That's so powerful. It's just like you get two or three kids together in the neighborhood, and when you get them together, they're like little tornadoes. All they can do is rip stuff up and destroy. Separate them, and all of a sudden, one likes to paint, and one likes to draw, and one likes to play with cars. What is that? Well, individually, when you separate what's influencing them, they're good. When you leave them together and let them influence under that bad chemistry, then it produces bad fruit. And so you come in the back door, and what you do is you drive away the demons. That's what your prayers do. You drive away the wicked desires. You hold them at bay. And what happens is you give that person a moment, a breather from his own wicked self. You give that person a moment, a breather from his own devils. You give that person a moment, a breather from painful memories. You give that person a breather, a moment from abusive relationships. You give them a little window of time to feel peace, to feel sanity, to feel right, to do what? To make a decision. I need Jesus. I need church. I need to get into fellowship. I need prayer. I need to get to the service. I need outside help in a spiritual way to help me with my dilemma. Oh, it's so clear. How that I could I not see this? That tells me that someone has come in the back door and is holding the bully back while this person can run to the name of the Lord. That's a high tower, a bulwark, a mighty fortress, a hiding place. Thank you, Lord. And that's what this back door approach. Do you see how powerful this is? You see confrontation, skin to skin, flesh to flesh, a lot of the time is not going to work. He's not going to stop. He's going to go more. She's not going to quit. She's going to do more. That's just the way human nature is. When you recognize that rebellion, when you recognize resistance to help and to right and to light, there's a way to get them to take the medicine. There's a way to get them to go to church. There's a way to get them to want to be free. There's a way to get them to be out of that relationship. There is a way. There is a way. My grandmother used to say to me all through life, prayer changes things. I want to add to that. Prayer changes everything. And it can, and it will, and God will not let you down. But you got to go. You got to go. When that back door's locked, you can't quit. You can't go home and say, they don't want help. You can't be lazy about it. No, you got to say, I must find a way into this person's life. They're too precious to me. They're too valuable. God's put them on my heart. All of the above, got to find a way. And that way usually is the back door, getting in to the spirit realm, getting in to the cause, not the effect, and watching God bring freedom. Oh, there's nothing like it. When you do this back door, you also do something very powerful, and that is you show the devil a united front. Yeah, see, the devil likes to isolate people. He likes you to go to the front door and quit. He likes you to find out that they're ignorant or they're rebellious or they're too weak or they don't. He likes you to look at something as too much work and too much time on your part. But boy, when you step in that back door, you cause a shriek to go through the hallways of hell. You cause the devil to scream because, wow, that is a united front. That is teamwork. That is where two or more are touching as anything. I mean, there's all kinds of God kind of laws that begin to kick in here. I mean, you begin to cause him to have to loosen his claws, you know, to back off from his evil ways, and you begin to break down the hold on that life even quicker, a united front in the face of the devil. And at the same time, you begin to exemplify that you are walking now on a different level than selfishness. You're walking on the level of God himself, because God is all about not him, but about us, and for God to love the world that he gave. And so whenever you begin to do this in the back door and take up time, energy, and effort, you begin to demonstrate this highest law that there is, that law of love that God lives and breathes in, and that's where God eventually wants all of us to get. And this is just a microcosm. This is just a piece of the astroturf, not the whole field. But whenever you begin to walk in this, you begin to exemplify this is who God is. This is what God is all about. But to be a backdoor kind of person, you've got to be more than desirous. You've got to be action-oriented. You can't just say, I see a need, I feel a need, he needs help. Everybody does that. Everybody feels for people. Everybody becomes discerning or aware through information of the various kinds of people that we're dealing with. You know, he's this and she's that. We don't lack knowing who needs help. We don't lack in discovering who doesn't want to and who wants to and who can't. All of that information comes pretty conveniently by way of the spirit, by way of the people, or just by way of, you know, the circumstances that God arranges in our life. What we lack is action-oriented, activating, executing. And to be a backdoor kind of person, you've got to be someone who's more than just desirous. To be a backdoor kind of person, you've got to be someone who says, going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to begin. I'm going to begin to go in the back door. I'm going to begin a intensive labor process plan. I'm going to get involved in this situation. Moses didn't levitate them over the Red Sea. Moses didn't, you know, just poof and transport them over the Red Sea. Moses didn't point them over to the Red Sea. Moses got down in the riverbed and he walked them through the Red Sea. And so there's sometimes you're going to have to just be desirous. You're going to have to do more than just say they need help, they need this, they need that. You're going to have to get directly on the spot, involved with your time, your energy, your prayers, and more than desirous, action-oriented. That's a backdoor kind of a person. And as you do this, please understand something. When you get involved with people on this level, when you go in the back door and begin to work and pray and bind and loose and plead and when you begin to do that, not only are you setting up a breakthrough and a jailbreak for the people that you're standing there for and crying for and interceding for, but you are sowing into your own safety and freedom at some point in time down the road. Remember, sowing and reaping doesn't just work in money and love. Sowing and reaping works whenever you invest in the breakthrough of others, God will invest in the breakthrough of you. You don't know when you're going to need a miracle. You don't know whenever you're going to be too weak to pray, too weak to go to church. You don't know what lies ahead. You don't know all that you may reap, the high dividends of serving through the back door that'll come into your life because you paid your dues, because you were obedient to God, because you didn't quit when the front door was locked, because you didn't let someone's mean spirit, their sad face, their unwilling ways. You didn't stop. You proceeded. You didn't turn them off. You know, you didn't make Jesus a byword. You didn't do anything stupid. You didn't pray witchcraft prayers. You came in slowly, silently, invisibly, back door, and you won a great victory. You wrought the great victory. That will come back, my friend, many times in your life to bless you more times than you can imagine. Because you and I, we all get into these Red Sea trapped in kind of places, and we need breakthrough more times, financially, physically, mentally, children, school, work, ministry. It just lines up one after the other. And if it's not in your teen years, your 20s, not in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your needs change as you ripen, as you season down the road of life. And how good to know that what you've done for others, God will do for you. Oh, is that ever powerful. And a backdoor kind of a person, and this probably paramounts all of these, is a unique individual, because a backdoor person that really comes in and labors effectively, efficiently, ongoing, is someone who really keeps the prize at hand. The prize at hand is not personal praise that they would get for being involved, because I'll tell you, backdoor ministry really is ministry that is unheralded. It is uncelebrated. It is unknown to so many people here on this side of glory. You know, that's not a backdoor. A backdoor kind of person isn't looking for the praises, the hand claps, the adulations, the acknowledgments, the thank you cards from people. His or her satisfaction is that the person that they're penetrating the realm for, the person that they're plundering hell for, the purpose is the freedom of the individual. The purpose is the salvation, the deliverance, the healing. You know, the job, the attitude change, the recovery, the rescue. The purpose isn't anything to do with who and how and what they are. The purpose is so different. It's so invisible. It's to hold up, get through, get out for that individual. Where's the satisfaction? The internal smile of knowing you did what God had you do. That you were a part and a privy to something enormous and wonderful. You may never get a recognition here on this side. The person that you often help may never know on this side that it was you and your love and prayers and your steadfastness that broke the chain of darkness, that broke the vice around their soul. They may never know on this side. But oh, on the other side, I believe God will let you know you had a friend that stuck to you closer. You had a sister. You had a mother, a father, a pastor, an elder, a deacon. You had a child. You had someone who had enough unction, who had enough traction, who had enough stick-to-it kind of person to get in there and really penetrate. And it was they. It was they that scaled the wall. It was they that walked on the water. It was they that went down and got the treasure among the sharks that set you free. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the way God works. And that's the way backdoor people work. You know, and not everyone may be. As you're listening to this, you may not feel that you need to put the time and the effort and the energy. Well, I pray that you reconsider. I pray that whenever you see the results, that when you look through the scriptures And you see that even God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, and he screamed from the top of his lungs to the soul, depths of his soul. Okay, who will stand in the gap? God is looking for a woman, a man. God is looking for a group, a person. No age barrier, no color barrier. God is looking for someone hungry and thirsty and caring to step in and be a bridge between sick and health, poor and rich, nowhere and somewhere, no one and someone. God is looking for someone to be a bridge so other people can walk over into their destiny. It takes someone just like you. It takes someone who says, I can see now where I've come to the front door, tried, and quit. I've come to the front door, slept on the porch, kept trying the front door, quit. And now you're saying, there must be a back door. There's got to be a way to the heart that I don't know about. There's got to be more ways into this town than just Main Street. There's got to be more ways into this web page than just the address that I have. I've got to get the password. I've got to find the secret door. I've got to do it because I care. I desire to help. I want to make a difference. If that is you, I pray that this tape begins to make in brazen letters, go to the back door. Begin now. Ask God for help, and he will show you where that door is, how to get into that door, and to begin to see the results that's going to bring a revolution, that's going to bring a revival to them and possibly to you, seeing as you may be somewhat connected to them by family, by work, or by church. But indirectly, all we're really focusing on is the freedom of that particular person. Oh, thank you, Lord. Remember, don't matter how rebellious, don't matter how ignorant, don't matter how weak, it don't matter how focused and how confused and consumed they are with problems. You can make a difference, not by bothering them in the front door, coming through the back door, and in time, God gets the victory, they get the victory, and you and your heart and the smile that comes on your face. As I said, you don't have to tell them, because if you do, you have your reward here. If you don't tell them, wow, a big one is waiting for you on the other side. You mean you don't get a reward here? Of course your reward. You know what your reward is? Do you see the smile on their face, the peace in their heart, the direction in their path, knowing your love, your prayers, and your approach made the difference. God bless you as you pursue standing in the gap for the destiny of people.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.